Give it up right now for the one and only Josh Johnson!
I reflected a lot and I came up with a lot of New Year's resolutions this year. I don't normally do it. I almost never do New Year's resolutions, but this year I had kind of a bunch because it just so happened I was really thinking about myself and life when the time came. And the problem with New Year's resolutions, the reason that they're so hard to keep is that a year is a year long. If you could make a New Year's resolution and really only had to do it for like 3 weeks, you knock it out of the park. But there's something about the fifth Monday where you're like, again? No. And I think we should all cut ourselves some slack, genuinely, when you have trouble making your New Year's resolution a habit or sticking to it, because New Year's resolutions are as old as calendars. So as long as we've been keeping track, we've been trying to be better and failing. It's very human. And our New Year's resolutions, by and large, are things that we're going to do or stop doing to stop hurting ourselves. If you read through history and you go back to the New Year's resolutions of whole civilizations, right? The Babylonians, the Romans, these people would have ceremonies. And usually a lot of what they did, a lot of their New Year's resolutions was to appease their gods or the tribe at large. It wasn't just about them. And all of our New Year's resolutions, for the most part, are things we're going to stop doing or start doing to stop hurting ourselves. They had New Year's resolutions to stop hurting other people. You read back in history, there were just New Year's resolutions of whole tribes that were like, this year, y'all, we not gonna pillage. We were doing too much last year. We were pillaging over here, pillaging over here. Not everything need to be pillaged. We need to start focusing on us, all right? Even probably had a tribe leader came up with a slogan, we not gonna pillage, we gonna be a village. No, it's as old as time. And admittedly, there are some modern New Year's resolutions. I do know a few people in my life that have had to make New Year's resolutions to stop hurting other people. You know, it's rare, but it does happen. Like I had one friend nonchalantly said, you know what, this year, I'm gonna cut less people. First of all, I didn't know she was cutting anybody. Second, your New Year's resolution is day one. Your New Year's resolution is to cut less. You didn't say none. None was an option. The year hasn't happened yet. You haven't even met who will be worth cutting, and you're still like, I might, maybe give them a pass. Said, I'm gonna cut less people, and I was like, what do you mean cut less people? They were like, oh, you know how it is. I hate being asked or told if or that I know how something is when I clearly have no idea how it is. Oh, you know how it is. You go out and somebody press you and next thing you know, you holding the blade on you. It's like, what life do you think I'm leading? Are you leading? What are you doing this? I had a couple of New Year's resolutions. One of them was to focus on my health, which I'm already regretting. Genuinely, because this is my thing. When you try to focus on your health in the beginning of the year, you really think you're going to do it. And that's why I'm making a New Year's resolution. If you tell me what I'm doing wrong, if you tell me what's wrong with me in like September, I'm probably gonna be like, then I'll die. Sorry. I like doing that. But if we're starting a new year and you're like, don't do that, I'll be like, okay, I'll try, right? No. But the problem is when you focus on your health, you have to go to the doctor. And going to the doctor is a little bit too exact and final for me. If something's wrong with me and I'm telling a friend about it and we're just sort of going back and forth, spitballing about what it could be, it's almost kind of fun. You're like, maybe it's that. Oh, maybe it's that. Let's Google it. Oh, we shouldn't have Googled it. You know what I mean? But when you go to the doctor, the doctor's like, no, no, you sick. No. And basically, I had to go to the doctor pretty early because, it's embarrassing to admit, but I feel like if I'm open, if I'm vulnerable about it, then it'll hopefully remove some of the stigma, okay? I had to go to the doctor because too many, I would even say most of my farts were whistling. Okay, all right. So if you're going through what I'm going through and you hear that laughter, that's why I'm doing this, to try to break through, to try to show the normalcy of what was happening to me. So basically, when I would fart, I don't even fart all the time, but every once in a while, you know, one goes and it was just having at the tail end, very tail end, it was having just a little like to it. I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know why it was happening, but I was hearing it. And I'm not like a musician in that way. I don't know a lot of music theory, but it did seem like a bit of a D sharp to it. Like it had a little bit of that fire alarm, that a little bit of that at the very end, right? And so one day I was walking and I don't even remember the food that I had had, but it hit me in the wrong way. And so I sounded like a piccolo. I was walking and my steps were just a little fluty. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I walk and listen to music. So I'll have my big old headphones on. They're noise canceling so I can really enjoy the music and everything. And I knew I had a problem because the cut through the... It was so high of a pitch, it must have got under the noise canceling. And so I was just walking. And I don't know, once again, about you, but when I'm wearing my headphones, I'm listening to music, and I'm walking, it feels like I can fart however loud I want because I can't hear it, so then it must not be that bad. I know that's not actually how sound works, but it's just kind of what goes through my head while I'm doing it. And I was walking, I just heard a sort of like, do you remember? And I was like, uh-oh, I should probably talk to somebody. And so I did. I went to the doctor, and when I got to the doctor, I had a bit of an issue because I even tried to use as many big words as I could to describe what was happening to lessen the blow of what I had to say. So I was like, my flatulence is having some orchestral notes to it. And the doctor was like, what? And I'm like, don't do that. That one of the main reasons I hate going to the doctor is because if you're a doctor, and especially if you're older than me and you're a doctor, I'm assuming you've been a doctor for a while, right? And if you've been a doctor for a while, then I'm assuming you've seen a lot of stuff. But somehow when I go to the doctor and I tell them my problem, they've never heard of it before. You got all these encyclopedias in here with all these diagrams of people's bodies and stuff, but then I tell you what I'm having happen, and you're like, what? And then I just made it simple. I was like, look, my farts are whistling. And he was like, what? And I was like, that's worse. What happened to bedside manner? And so, you know, he fixed it. He, you know, I'm fine now. It doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, basically, there was something going on where I had pretty much like overexerted myself, and it kind of, he explained it better, but I guess my organs were kind of like a Tom and Jerry configuration, and it was just making me whistle at the very end, and then it went back to normal. My second New Year's resolution was to be very mindful about what I do and say on a podcast. Now, I'm not perfect, but This has been the downfall of a lot of people. I'm not even saying that there's never going to be a podcast where I talk out of pocket. I don't know. It's just talking. And it's so much talking that along the way, you say something dumb or something that doesn't age well or something that you don't even really think. Maybe you're just talking, right? You get anybody to talk for hours and hours and hours, and eventually they'll say something pretty dumb. So I'm trying to be mindful about what I do and say on a podcast, because when podcasts started, before there was a ton of money in it, it was just one of two things. It was either people who had such a great rapport with each other that listening to them felt like listening with them, like being there with them and just having a party with your friends, and it was an interesting conversation that you felt like you were a part of, right? Or there was a very interesting person. An incredibly interesting person, and then someone had them on their podcast who was a good interviewer. And through giving a good interview, they pulled all of these interesting and beautiful things out of this very interesting person and then gave it to you. And so you either got some sort of education from it or you got some sort of community from it, right? And now podcasts, I think we made too many microphones. Because now it's a genuine mess. You know? Like, I watched what I think was maybe one of the most important podcast clips of all time. One that exactly, perfectly describes what I'm kind of talking about. Mike D has a podcast. And in that podcast, he was sitting. He was talking to OG Tulo, a rapper. And while he was talking to him, OG Tulo reaches into his pocket and somehow shoots himself in the leg. I'm encouraging everyone to watch this clip because it's truly one of the most important moments in podcasting ever. I had so many questions when I saw this man shoot himself in the leg. First of all, what gun is little enough? But also, what pocket is big enough? Because you can't see a gun. He's literally got his hand in his pocket, which means there's a gun and his hand in his pocket. How deep are these pockets? They're like optical illusions. This man reaches into his pocket, and I want to be clear here, okay? OG Tulo and Mike D, they weren't having some sort of argument. Mike D wasn't coming at him. It's not like he was reaching in his pocket to grab his gun. If anything, it looked like he was reaching in his pocket for something else. And can I just say, don't put your gun in your pocket. But if you do, make sure your gun is the only thing in that pocket. Please do not put your gun and your keys in your pocket. I'm begging you not to put your gun and your phone in your pocket. Because this man looks like he's trying to move the gun when you rewatch it. I've watched it 2,000 times. It looked like he's trying to move the gun out the way to get something else. And I'm telling you, it's not worth it to have your gun and your gum in the same pocket. This dude reaches into his pocket. Bam! And then Mike D, who's sitting across from him, Mike D goes, "Who shot who?" They're facing each other. He turns to the cameras out there where the people are, who I guess are producing the podcast. And he turns to them and goes, "Who shot who? Somebody got shot?" Sir, how often are people shooting each other at your studio for the first question to be, "Who shot who?" He didn't say "who shot who" as in like, "Oh no, a gun went off." He turned as if to say, "Y'all, we are trying to do something." This man turns. Who shot who? Somebody got shot? When you look for the clip, OG2, no, now that's O, letter O, G, letter G, we're capital letters, the number two, like an email, OG2low, right? OG2low is fascinating to me because there are a lot of rappers who their name is not, it's not true to who they are as a person, right? But to his credit, OG2low shoots himself in the leg and only goes, his reaction to shooting himself in the leg, all he does is go, ooh. This man doesn't cry, he doesn't freak out, he just makes the face you make when you drop a casserole, just, ooh. You know the face you make when you get caught coming home after curfew, you in the dark, you think you made it, then the lights come on and you're like, ooh. He makes the face you make when there's like two people arguing out in the world and you don't know either one, but then one of them is like, that's why I took your man, ooh. This man simply goes, ooh. And then a person behind the camera calls out and goes, Lo, you good? There are a few things I hate more than being asked if I'm good when I should not be good. When I'm clearly, people wait till you hurt to ask if you're okay. And I understand the reflex question, but you just saw something very bad happen. You saw a man reach in his pocket where he clearly forgot he had a gun. And then shoot himself in the leg, and now you go, Lo, you good? And OG2Lo. Simply says, I think. And so I'm trying to be more mindful about what podcasts I do and what I do on them, because I've seen how bad it can go. You know? Another thing, another New Year's resolution I had was to take better pictures of my male friends. Okay. As men, we gotta start taking better pictures. This is rough. We wonder why it's a struggle out here, but I'm telling you, I know good men. Not just decent men, I'm talking about good, wholesome men, father figures in men. Father material, marriage material men who are out here taking pictures forehead first. I'm talking about forehead presented, forehead shiny, optical illusion, forehead forward. Even know how you get that angle. Did you put the camera on your head? You know, because that's what happens. As a man, you don't get that many good pictures taken of you by other dudes. You know, and then you post it because it's one of the only good pictures you have. You want to go on a dating site, you want to meet people, you go ahead and you post the pictures you have of yourself, because what you have is what you have. And then you put that out into the world and you wonder why there aren't many bites. There aren't a ton of bites because when people are scrolling through your pictures, you look blurry. You look like if they met you, you would only be a memory, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You know that wave look when it's like, it's almost a good picture, but there's that movement at the end, so you're a little blurry on one side? Will she be dating a ghost? Who knows? We've got to start taking better pictures of each other's men. And I know it's hard. I know it feels weird to like take, because women are so good at doing it for each other. They'll take incredible pictures of each other. It won't even be picture day. It'll just be some good lighting in a random place. And they'll be like, hold up, stop. Let me get you. No. Put pose, quick. Yep, see? This is good. You know? It's tough. We don't try enough. We don't try. Even if you muster up the courage as a man to know that you look good that day, and you ask your boy to take a picture of you, as men, we get too uncomfortable trying to make each other look good. Like you're scared to try to make your boy look hot. Even if you're looking good, bona fide, looking good, anybody can see it. You're dressed well, shaved, everything, right? And then you hand the phone to your boy. He's like, got it. That's not helpful. You didn't get it. That's why when I post the picture, I look like smoke. Because you were so uncomfortable, you couldn't stop, let the phone rest for a sec. The phone didn't even get to adjust. Do you know the technology we have in our pockets? And the phone was like, I didn't get that at all. Women will do anything to take a good picture of their friend, especially when the friendship is mixed. Like when you're out with your male, female friends, and you're just walking, going to a restaurant, whatever, and then there's a moment where it's like, hey, this is good lighting, stop, let me take a picture of you. I've seen work put in. Because they love their friend. The things I've seen, it's not just one of these. I've seen women get angles for each other. Angles that it never occurred to me to get. The way that I've seen women work their knees backwards. No, you be still. I'm good. You be still. That's it right there. That's it. No. Men take such bad pictures of ourselves and have such bad pictures of us taken. I'm pretty sure that's why nobody looks for us when we go missing. Be honest right now. If there is a man that goes missing, if they even put his picture on the local news, it's the worst picture of him if it's not a picture from high school. If it's not his high school picture with that bow tie or whatever, it's just him being like. And then you see the picture and you're like, I think he did it. I think he kidnapped him. That's what happened. I solved it. We don't need to look. That's why when you put a woman's picture on the national news, it's any picture. It's just a picture of her that's recent. And people are like, huh? Find her! Because it's a good picture. Another New Year's resolution that I made was to start making, how do I put this? I want to start having manlier mannerisms. The entire time I've been alive, I've just been moving the way I move because it's what feels natural to me in the moment, but I'm seeing every once in a while there'll be someone that comes into my life that shows me that actually, maybe not this way. When I was young, I was working this job, and there was a dude on the job who was actually, he was in prison, and he was on work release, and he took me under his wing and was trying to teach me how to be more of a man. I didn't ask him to, but I also didn't really know how to take up for myself, so. I would do little things, and he would try to correct those things for me, right? And I remember one time I walked in the room, and it was pretty stinky, and because it was stinky, I tried to waft, you know, in front of my face, like waft, like you would when it stinks. You're like, ooh, it's stinky, right? You know what I mean? Like, you've done this. Don't act like I'm... It was stinky, right? But the way I did it, my hands were too fluid when I was... Because it was stinky, but I felt like this was more efficient to get it out of my face. I was like whipping it out of the way, right? And he saw me and he was like, stop doing that. And I'm like, what? Why? And he's like, your hand looked like a whisper doll. One time he tried to, you know, dap me up, but he had big hands. And so when he did it, I'm not gonna lie, it hurt. And so I pulled my hand back, and I pulled my hand back like. And he was like, don't do that. And I'm like, what should I do then? He's like, I don't know, but not that. The worst one was, you know, people talk about fight or flight, and people often don't talk about freeze, which is what I did in this particular situation. This dude had been on work release, right? And some dudes who he must have got into it with before he went to jail found out where he worked. They waited for him to take a smoke break, and they tried to jump him. Now, initially, when they tried to jump him, they were just pressing him outside, talking. I don't know if he owed them money. I don't know what the situation was. All I know is I'm walking out with the trash, and then they swing on this dude, all right? And then he, by himself, fights off both of these dudes, and he's not really losing or winning, but he'll take one to give one, and then he'll get one good enough that they back up a bit so he can focus on the other one and then go back to this guy and everything. But then at one point, my man, he gets clipped by one of these dudes, right? And they have him with an uppercut, and he goes backwards, and I'm not proud of it, but it was my genuine reaction. When he got hit, I did go. Because apparently I touch my cheeks when I gasp. I didn't know that about me either, but nothing had happened to make me gasp in a long time. So when it happened, I was like, ooh. And people look at you different. When you do like a full Macaulay Culkin, when you hit them with the Macaulay, with the... Another one of my New Year's resolutions. is to take a break from Facebook Marketplace. This is my thing. It's not even that I'm buying a lot. It's just everyone that I seem to buy off of on Facebook Marketplace is never... I'm never meeting them at a good point in their life. Right? So when I meet them, there's a whole energy to it that doesn't feel like just regular commerce. As an example, I went over one time, I needed a bed frame, so I went to purchase the bed frame. Facebook Marketplace, I show up, right? I've already paid, and I show up to pick up the bed frame, and it's not as if I came there to make a friend. I wasn't trying to sit down and have tea or something like that. I really was there to pick up the bed frame and be out. But the way I was being rushed the entire time was making this start to feel like some stolen goods. Do you know what I mean? Just I'm like, all right, so can I help you put it somewhere? Do you have a truck or do you have something? I was like, oh, okay, all right, calm down, right? And then while I'm taking the bed frame, there's a piece missing. And so then they go to get this piece. And when they go to get the piece, there's a truck that pulls up. And then when they walk back out, they're like, oh, no. And then this guy gets out of the truck and he's like, Amy, why? Why? And I'm just here for the bed frame. He's like, Amy, why? And she's like, I told you why. I'm done with you. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of everything that you do. I've given you so many chances. And now she is yelling over my shoulder. I'm here. I'm where I am now. She's right here yelling at him who's behind me going, why? So I am kind of like this child of divorce in this moment. He's like, why? I told you why. No, but why, Amy? Is it him? And I can honestly tell you right now, it didn't look like it would be me, because when he said, is it him, I went, huh? And then she went, what? No. She didn't have that. Now I'm looking at both, I'm like, huh? And they clearly had some stuff to work out, and I was very uncomfortable. I couldn't get the piece because she was still looking for it. He was crying, so I left the bed frame. There was another time where I was going to buy a teddy bear. I had someone that I was trying to get the teddy bear for because they like novelty teddy bears. I was trying to do something a little sweet and everything. And I go there to pick up the teddy bear. And not everybody posts the dimensions of the item that you're buying. But when I get there, the teddy bear, my size, right? So way bigger than I was expecting. The teddy bear is like a 5 foot something teddy bear. And this particular teddy bear, which was apparently like novelty because it was made like handmade and everything. From behind, the teddy bear had a lot of ass. Like a twerkable amount of ass. Like it was cheeky. And so, you know, I'm trying to pick it up and it weighs a man. And so I was like, okay, maybe not. Because now even if I give this as a gift, one, is too big, and two, I'm gonna have to explain what's happening back here. I went to buy a fridge one time, and I get there, and I'm talking to this guy about the fridge, like where I should go get it, and he's looking at me confused. And he's standing right outside of the address that I was given, and he's sounding all confused, and then he tells me he's there to buy a fridge. And then homeboy opens the door and basically invited us both to go ahead and haggle in person. Over the fridge. I was like, that's insane. We had a price. We had a price that we agreed on. And the other guy was like, 55. And I was like, that, you're not helping our case at all. I'm not a good negotiator. I went to buy a couch. This should have been plain and simple. You're moving. I need a couch. You need to get rid of a couch. We're done. I show up, even had the truck ready because I've known from before you got to have the getaway vehicle in tow. And sure enough, pull up, you know, we're carrying out the couch in pieces, cushions first, also like that, trying to get the couch lifted up out the door and stuff. And this man who is selling the couch keeps trying to upsell me on dolls that he made himself. And you can tell. He made these like knockoff porcelain Cabbage Patch dolls already freaking looking to begin with. They already look at you. No matter where you are in the room, they got eyes on you. And then he made it, so he stuffed them a little bit, and then he put a button on it. And when you put the button on, it was supposed to cry. Like, you know, the way that you buy the toys. Wham! Okay, hold the baby. Right. Except he must have recorded the cry. Because this doll's cry was haunting. You press the button on this doll to cry, because he did it. No one asked him to. Trying to upsell us on these dolls while we trying to lift a couch that is apparently made out of lead, because we cannot get it up. Meanwhile, he not helping, presses the button on the doll, and the doll, instead of a wham, wham, it gives a cry that screams 1800s horror movie. This doll presses the button, this doll goes, ah! I'm doing that because he made so the mouth open. I was so genuinely terrified that I left the couch. That's why I need to take a break from Facebook Marketplace, because I don't really leave with my items. I don't really...